This podcast is part of the Gun Rights Radio Network, podcasting freedom.
The Liberals Gun Corner, a proud member of the Gun Rights Radio Network, hosted by Cowboy T, San Francisco liberal with a gun. This podcast is always available at www.liberalsguncorner.com, and you can email us at cowboyt@liberalsguncorner.com. Cowboy T here, San Francisco liberal with a gun. Emphasis, by the way, on the word liberal. So recently, we've been talking about this notion of assault weapons. Pretty hot topic now with all the activity on Capitol Hill about a proposed ban. Surely you all have heard of Senator Dianne Feinstein's recently introduced assault weapons ban of 2013. Well, the talking heads in the mainstream media sure are talking up the need for such a restriction. So last episode, we discussed just that topic. Some of you didn't agree. Some of you got a little upset. We all know how people tend to react when someone challenges a belief that's near and dear to their hearts. In a nutshell, those of you who didn't agree made it clear that I had done just that. Challenge one of your near and dear, close to the heart, beliefs. Well, folks, that's going to happen around here sometimes. You can't help it when you're talking about liberty. I've had a few of mine challenged over the years, too, so I know how it feels. I also know it's been a running joke for 45 years about Mr. Spock and logic. But guess what, folks? That pointy-eared Vulcan, as McCoy used to call him, he's got a point. Logic does matter. And personally, I think I made a pretty rational case. So even if we didn't convince you, hopefully we gave you something to consider, a little something to think about. Apparently, we just don't learn around here at the Liberals Gun Corner, because we're about to seriously jump out of the frying pan straight into the fire. Cool, huh? You ready? Okay, let's do it! Woohoo! Seems the fact I call myself a San Francisco liberal with a gun gets a lot of comments like, "You sound more like a libertarian than a liberal. Do you know about the libertarians?" Some of these folks have asked for a discussion on whether or not there's a difference between true liberals, at least as I look at it, and these libertarian peoples. You know, folks, you're right. I think it's about time we address that topic. So we're going to do just that. Now, don't get me wrong, I kind of like jumping face first into issues, but before we do that, though, we probably ought to define our terms. Chief of which, just what a liberal is. Actually, that was pretty much all of episode one, but let's do a quick recap. There are a bunch of meanings in my copy of Merriam-Webster, and I think the one that applies most to what we're talking about here is, let's see what we got here, here it is. Yeah, one who believes in liberalism. Oh, yeah, gee, that was, okay, that was real helpful. Yeah, right. Let's see if we can narrow that down some. To do that, let's find out what this liberalism is. Well, again, we consult Merriam-Webster, and where is it? Here. Here's what we got. Definition of liberalism. Liberalism, noun. A political philosophy based on belief in progress, the essential goodness of man, and the autonomy of the individual, and standing for tolerance and freedom for the individual from arbitrary authority in all spheres of life, especially by the protection of political and civil liberties, and for government under law with the consent of the governed. Sound familiar, folks? I sure hope so. We learned it in school. Remember? Remember where that's from? I'll give you a few seconds to think about it. Not coming to you right away? Okay, let's refresh our memories a bit here. It has been a while. How about this? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Yes, we have heard those words before, haven't we? That is true liberalism. anything else is not. I've said this before. It's all about the liberty, folks. Liberalism, real liberalism, is all about liberty, has always been about liberty. Now, what do these folks we call libertarians have to say? Well, did some reading up on the subject, and seems like there are various types of these libertarians, and there's a pretty big difference between the libertarians of the United States and those in other parts of the world like Europe. Over in Europe, we're basically talking about advocating for voluntary government and as small as possible. That's not necessarily true here in the United States. I got to make a presumption here that most of you listening are Americans like me, so out of necessity, I'm going to limit our discussion to the American libertarians, okay? Based on my readings of that, about that, it seems this thing called libertarianism has its roots in something else called classical liberalism. In a nutshell, that means basically socially liberal and fiscally conservative. Social or cultural liberalism can be viewed as the belief in people to express their own identity however they see fit, so long as they don't hurt anyone or step on the rights of others to do likewise. Now, fiscal conservatism, that's a belief that the government should spend only as much as it takes in. And there's also a component of government spending only that which they absolutely have to, like, say, a typical middle-class family has to do. You know, like you and I have to do. Spend only what you take in, keep your budget balanced. You know, that does kind of sound like my own belief system. I'm definitely all about the right to do basically whatever you want, so long as you don't step on the rights of others to do likewise. Basically, as long as you're not hurting me or others, go ahead and worship whatever god or gods you want. I don't care. Have whatever kind of, well, consensual intimate relations that you want. Marry whoever you want if you want to. You know, no matter what color or religion or sexual preference or whatever other arbitrary thing. That's your business. Just don't tread on others while you're doing it. Maybe some folks don't agree, but I don't know. It seems pretty fair to me. Also, I do think our nation's fiscal policy is utter C-R-A-P. Borrowing money like there's no tomorrow like we're doing? What the heck's up with that? You and I try something like that? We know what happens. We lose everything we got. You and I need to live by a balanced budget, don't we? Yes, we do. So I don't understand this cockamamie notion of not balancing our national budget. What kind of drugs are people on that cannot understand the need for this? I guess this is why some folks have asked me if I'm really a libertarian. I suppose it's a fair question. So let's check out what the Libertarian Party has to say and compare it to what you just heard. Now, I already know, just for those of you who are sticklers for detail, there, strictly speaking, is a difference between libertarianism and the Libertarian Party. But since I don't have time to do an encyclopedic analysis of the differences, and it seems to me that the Libertarian Party pretty much represents the libertarian beliefs, I went to their website for some information. Sue me. On their website, they say this. We hold that all individuals have the right to exercise sole dominion over their own lives and have the right to live in whatever manner they choose, so long as they do not forcibly interfere with the equal right of others to live in whatever manner they choose. Sounds pretty good. They also say this. Individuals should be free to make choices for themselves and to accept responsibility for the consequences of the choices they make. No individual, group, or government may initiate force against any other individual, group, or government. Our support of an individual's right to make choices in life does not mean that we necessarily approve or disapprove of those choices. Reading their website further, it seems to be essentially an expansion on these two major points. Basically, get government out of our private lives. We have the right to do whatever we want so long as we don't step on the rights of others to do likewise. That we have the right to defend ourselves. They specifically reference the Second Amendment. Bigotry of any sort is bad news. As is sending our armed forces on these overseas nation-building adventures like we've been doing, and so on. Well, gotta say, so far I agree with them. These libertarians are sounding pretty much like liberals to me. So far, so good. However, I do have some concerns. Continuing my reading, they also seem to believe very much in a laissez-faire economic policy that we once had in this country. Looks to me that, by the libertarian philosophy, sure, government should be there to protect the nation from aggressors, yeah. However, there also should be no regulations on monopolies, no environmental laws. Their position is that private landowners and conservation groups will naturally handle those concerns. No laws governing contracts other than you will follow the contract that you signed, and that government regulations on businesses should be, generally speaking, at a minimum, preferably none. The problem with this that I see is that corporations, by their very nature, are amoral. They have no morals. They can't. They're artificial legal constructs made specifically to keep the employees of the corporation shielded from legal liability. Oh, and especially the bosses, of course. I actually know something about this because I had an S corporation from some years back. The whole point of a corporation, its entire reason for existence, is to maximize income for its owners. We call those owners shareholders. That means there is one overriding motive which trumps all others, and that is the profit motive. And those corporate owners, the shareholders, will do anything and everything to increase profits for themselves. Well, duh, of course they will. It's human nature to want to improve the lot in life for you and yours. We saw it with Andrew Carnegie and Carnegie Steel. Dirt poor Irish kid becomes one of the richest men in history. We saw it with Standard Oil and John Rockefeller. We see it today with the several oil companies. Shell, Exxon, BP, and so on. We also see it with Microsoft or Apple or the major media companies. Sony, Disney, Paramount, Warner Brothers, so on. But wait a second now. Hold on. We obviously have more than one media company, don't we? There's more than one oil company, right? I just named off a few. Won't that naturally lead to competition? You know, with the customer naturally rewarding the company or companies that provide the best value? The companies that can't do that, they'll go out of business? Well, sure, that's the idea, and it's a good one. Unfortunately, it doesn't account for the reality of something called cartels. This is when the multiple big players in any market work together to distort that free market idea of best value for the customer. We saw this with the chemical companies polluting the water. We saw it with the oil and coal plants of various types polluting the air and causing acid rain. Look at gas prices in a given area. No matter whichever one you go to on any given street corner, all the prices are within a couple of cents of each other, and they're usually exactly the same. Look what happened with the General Motors EV1 electric car and the behind-the-scenes maneuvering about it. Look at how the cigarette companies colluded together to actively market cigarettes to kids. That still blows me away, even now. And then they had the temerity to look us in the face and say, "Who, us? Y'all remember Joe Camel, folks? I sure do." And here's another one going on right now. Look at how the U.S. patent system is being misused today. With this thing called the software patent. I'm in the computer business, so I follow this. A lot of you in the computer business probably have heard about all this too. The big money players are doing something called cross-licensing their software patents with each other, basically to try to collectively sue free and open source software companies and products out of existence with frivolous lawsuits. The only reason they haven't gone after Red Hat yet is because Red Hat is now a $1 billion company and has the money to fight back. But look what they did to TomTom. That's where we need government to step in, set some rules, and actually enforce them. That's where the libertarians and I disagree. To them, it seems, nothing wrong with the Joe Camel ads. Nothing wrong with corporate bosses colluding to fix prices, agree to unhealthy environmental practices for the short-term profits, and so on. I know, it doesn't sound too flattering, but these are the implications of the very beliefs that they list on their own website. Now, the big question. Is that really what they mean by limited government? Really? We'll take a short station ID break and tackle that question when we come back.
You can hear Gun Rights Radio Network on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Gun Rights Radio Network shows can be found under sources.
All right, we're back. We left off with the question of why it seems the libertarians don't believe much in government's role in stepping in with some rules and enforcing them for the betterment of the people. You got to remember, the American libertarian movement has its roots in folks like Adam Smith and John Locke and similar folks. See, back then, you had the European dictatorships that generally strong-armed people however the hell they felt like. Whatever the king or emperor or czar or other dictator said, folks, that was law. Held back the advance of business terribly. Held up some real progress, unless you were in with the power brokers. And even then, it wasn't really progress. It was just the support of ineptness because you were in with the power brokers. Well, the folks like Adam Smith and John Locke, etc., saw all that, and they understood why it was bad news. So, of course, they wanted to keep government's hands out of all that. They had a point. Here's the problem with that, though. Back in 1887, we didn't have things like Joe Camel. Documents that got released to the outside from the cigarette companies showed that they were indeed targeting children with this campaign, despite the health risks. Also, another thing, scientific knowledge has advanced considerably over the years. Back in the day, before OSHA, there were no workplace safety rules, and you had people getting sick or even dying for it. My dad's told me stories about the working conditions under which Grandpa worked. Oh boy. Quote unquote, workplace safety? That was a joke. Employers were agreeing on all this stuff, by the way. You'd be amazed the conversations that go on that golf course. I've been privy to a few of those, and it's really something else to hear. Same goes for employment contracts, by the way. A lot of companies demand that you sign something called a non-competition clause as a precondition for employment. This means that if you leave for any reason, you cannot work for anyone else in the same field of business for a certain period of time, usually 1 to 5 years. Makes it kind of hard to use the free market to get better employment, doesn't it? I do know that Microsoft required this. Presumably, they still do. Well, it turns out that in some states, Virginia is one of them, there are laws that say such contract provisions are unenforceable. But suppose that protection wasn't there. Well, I'll tell you what I saw happen. Just about every employer in the area soon started requiring non-competition clauses. People, when just about every employer in that industry is doing it, you as a worker don't have a heck of a lot of choice if you want to actually feed your family that night or make your house payment. You're probably going to sign your rights away so you can eat tomorrow. Here's another one. Information technology companies were demanding that anything you invent while you're employed by them becomes their property. Even if you came up with a cool idea or program at home, on your own time, on your own gear, and it didn't involve any of your employer's trade secrets or whatnot. This got so bad that, and this is one thing I like about what the state of California did, the state of California had to pass a law specifically requiring companies to provide an exception for folks doing their own stuff on their own time with their own gear. That's why Silicon Valley became that hotbed of technology innovation that it still is today. Yep, it still is today, even with the downturn. And that's a big reason why. You see, that's the problem. You can't go totally laissez-faire. Otherwise, you're back in the days of I'm sure you read about this, your white shirt getting speckled black after being outside for 5 minutes because all the coal dust in the air. You're back to the days of the infamous London fog. I'm sure you all have heard about that, the pea soup smog in the air that ate up people's lungs, gave them emphysema. Well, the cartelism will kick in and distort the free market, and that is indeed what we got. That's not the movies. That's real life. These things actually happened. Matter of fact, they've happened ad nauseum. Yet at the same time, naturally, there is a but provision here. You've got to be just as careful not to have too much government regulation. Let's look again at California. They're going totally the opposite direction. Their government's like a nanny state now. I used to think California was a liberal state. Used to, not anymore. Look at what the politicians have been doing. They're continuing to eviscerate the Second Amendment rights of the people there. Oh, except the politicians themselves, naturally. You ought to see their new proposed restrictions. They're worse than New York's new ones. If you're a school teacher, you got to teach to a certain political philosophy. That would be the, generally speaking, the Democratic Party's philosophy. Or you're actually at serious risk of getting de-staffed in some places. Not good. Kids who wear American flag shirts on Cinco de Mayo Day, here's a good one, they get suspended from school. last this Air Force veteran has checked. It's never, ever supposed to be wrong, ever, to celebrate the American flag in the United States of America. Not here, not on this soil. Here's another one. Eminent domain. That's gotten ridiculous out there. Well, okay, in fairness, that's happened other places too, which, well, just kind of illustrates the point further. Taxes are going through the roof, and it's getting improperly spent. Look what they're doing out there. You've got people who make being on welfare a lifestyle instead of a temporary helping hand, which is what it was supposed to be. Oh, and it seems you got to ask permission from the government for just about anything in California nowadays. And they still got a budget crisis out there. And it's dire. None of these things is good news. Looks like polar opposites here. Laissez-faire versus the nanny state. Is there any middle ground? Is the discussion of so-called middle ground even appropriate? Does it even apply? We'll tackle that next, as soon as we come back from station ID break.
This podcast is supported from donations from listeners like you. Thank you for your support. One-time donations or a $2 a month subscription to help support this podcast and Gun Rights Radio Network in its effort to bring you the high-quality pro-Second Amendment podcast. Every dollar you donate goes directly right back into the network. So visit gunrightsradio.com and click on the donation button. We accept all types of credit cards. PayPal account not required. Gunrightsradio.com.
Welcome back. The question we have hanging in the air has to do with so-called middle ground between laissez-faire and the nanny state. Laissez-faire was what we had a lot more of back in the 19th century. I've mentioned what I see as some flaws in that philosophy. However, the nanny state that California has become is downright scary. I'm serious. It's no wonder that a lot of people are leaving that once great state. And it really was once great. I remember it. The way things are out there now, though, even I wouldn't go back to live at this point. Seems like next thing you know, you'll need a permit to sneeze. So I can kind of understand why the libertarian folks are taking it as far as they are. They're sick of all that stuff I just mentioned earlier. Heck, I'm sick of all that stuff I just mentioned earlier. But I don't go so far as they do with the laissez-faire model. Remember, they don't account for cartelism and collusion. At least, I'm not seeing it. Maybe I just missed it, but I'm not seeing that addressed in their website or in my other readings. That's where I think, for example, the Sherman Antitrust Act is a good thing, if only it were enforced evenly. Why is it a good thing? Because a cartel, like an oligarchy, is just as bad as a monopoly. If you got folks colluding to suppress whistleblowers who catch, the dumping of raw sewage in the river, well, that steps on the rights of other people who depend on that water. You know, the folks who drink it, wash their clothes with it, fish in it, bathe in it, whatever else. If you got folks colluding to hide car safety problems, and yes, that has happened in this country more than once, Ford Pinto, anyone? And those manufacturers are swearing up and down that, no, ain't nothing wrong with this car, perfectly safe. Yeah, huh? Then along comes someone like a Ralph Nader or whomever else and exposes this, and that person gets visited by some persuaders to convince the whistleblower to shut up. Yeah. Folks, I think we all know what that means. And when this whistleblower goes to the police on crutches after having his legs broken, gets swept under the rug. Funny that. You don't think that violates the rights of those folks who are driving that unsafe car? I do. How about the folks who depend on that river water that's now full of raw sewage? What about the whistleblower's rights not to have his legs broken? That's where I differ with the libertarians. The rights of those folks who live downstream, or the folks driving those cars, or the folks breathing the air, those folks' rights got to be respected too, just like the folks who run that corporation. I don't see where it's cool to actively market a known cancer-causing agent, cigarettes, to little kids. I don't see where it's okay to ignore the rights of people to breathe clean air. Hey, that air was clean for millions of years before the factory came along and started pumping sulfur dioxide into it. We evolved breathing clean air, folks, not SO2. Collusion of the big players is what allows problems like these to happen. Remember, I mentioned that golf course. I'm not seeing where the libertarians account for any of this, other than to say, Well, there's the Second Amendment. You can have a gun, so use your gun to defend yourself from violence. Well, yeah, sure, I believe in that too, heart and soul. But should that always be the solution? Be ready to pop a cap in anybody we imagine might be coming to beat us to hell for being a whistleblower? I can't accept that. That sounds like mob rule to me. Might makes right. I don't go for that. Maybe they do account for these things, and I just didn't see it there. That's entirely possible. Totally possible. Any of you libertarian listeners out there, let me know if that's the case. I don't mind revisiting this topic if that's what happened. Fair is fair. At this point, though, I cannot call myself a libertarian, even despite my strong belief in social liberalism and fiscal conservatism. We do need governments to keep folks in check to some degree. The question is, to what degree? I'm going to borrow a little bit from the Wiccans on this one. Yeah, the Wiccans. They got something that they call the RAID. I hope I'm saying that right. It's spelled R-E-D-E. This is what provides their basic moral philosophy. It's in poem form. The Wiccans do seem to like waxing poetic. And the last line is what struck me. It goes like this. And ye harm none, do what ye will. As a liberal, well, that's my basic philosophy too. You folks out there listening may have something different, but that's basically mine. And that's where I see the contradiction in libertarianism. They seem to espouse the freedom of the individual, a belief I also share, but they seem to stop there and say, but let private property owners do whatever they want without any interference from the government. Unfortunately, as I've just pointed out, that in itself can have, and has had, a harmful effect on the rights of other people. There's got to be something there big and bad enough to give the big, well-moneyed private property owners some kind of pause before they go stepping on the rights of others like that. That big and bad enough something is government. But there's a catch, and it's a big one. Anytime you involve government like that, you've got to be really careful. Otherwise, you swing the other way, like Red China, North Korea, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Syria's Assad regime, and so on. Heck, California looks like it's well on its way there these days. There's a fella that comes to mind right now named Professor Eben Moghlen. I admire the heck out of this guy. He's the lead attorney for the Software Freedom Law Center and the Free Software Foundation. Started out a computer programmer. Got into law later on and graduated from, what was it, Yale Law? Yeah, it was Yale Law School. Oh, and after that, he clerked for Justice Thurgood Marshall. Huh. He's currently a professor of law and legal history at Columbia University. Along with Richard Stallman, he's largely responsible for the free software movement that resurged in the 1980s and continues to this day. Richard provided the programming expertise and the basic philosophy. Dr. Moghlen provided the legal framework. The software license that Linux uses, heck, that a lot of software uses, he and Richard wrote it. One of his big things, he said this in his keynote presentation at the 2006 Red Hat Summit, anytime you place limitations on freedom, like the Free Software Foundation did with the GNU General Public License, it must be done only to greater guarantee the preservation of freedom for people. It can never be a net loss of freedom. And that kind of thing's got to be done very sparingly in any case. After all, this is freedom we're talking about here. And I agree with Professor Moghlen. It's a core part of why I use GNU Linux and other free software on my computers. Heck, I'm using it now to make this podcast. It's also why I'm a supporter of the GNU GPL. So, apparently, I'm not a libertarian after all. Who knows? Maybe I'm a liberal-tarian, like one listener suggested. Well, I guess that's as good a card toss in the hat as any other, but me, personally, I'll keep referring to myself as the liberal that I know myself to be. Remember the definition of liberalism. A political philosophy based on belief in progress, the essential goodness of man, and the autonomy of the individual, and standing for tolerance and freedom for the individual from arbitrary authority in all spheres of life, especially by the protection of political and civil liberties, and for government under law with the consent of the governed. It doesn't say there can't be any government. It says it needs to be under law with the consent of the governed. In my, I guess, brand of liberalism, It's therefore totally consistent to believe heart and soul with the Bill of Rights, as well as a certain level of federal oversight, like, for example, the Environmental Protection Agency. But what about the 10th Amendment? I know some of you out there thinking that. Can't say I blame you. This comes up a lot, so we better address it too. And we'll do just that when we come back from Station ID.
The forums are a great place to interact with the podcasters and listeners to your favorite podcast. Visit gunrightsradio.com and click on the forums button at the top of the page and sign up for your free membership, gunrightsradio.com.
Okay, we left off with the question, but what about the 10th Amendment? Since it does come up a lot, we really ought to address it. Guess what? The folks bringing it up do have a point. Let's review what the 10th Amendment says. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. That's the 10th Amendment. So there is a case for leaving whatever it is to the states or the people. The Constitution says so. It's right there. I just read it. The libertarians therefore also say so. In principle, I agree, and it sounds great. Until the states or local municipalities stop ensuring the equal application of the law to the people therein. Don't dismiss this, folks. That's how we got Jim Crow for 100 years and slavery before that. It's how we got laws that said you could marry only within your so-called race. Remember, it took an incredibly bloody civil war to end slavery. Then it took federalizing the National Guard to get Governor George Wallace out of that doorway. It took federal troops just to ensure the basic physical safety of black students going to so-called white schools in the South. It took a Supreme Court case to end those marry only within your same race laws. I'm talking specifically about the case of Loving versus Virginia in 1967, one of the landmark civil rights cases in our country. Oh, but the private sector will do better. That was the government. Oh, please. Private businesses weren't any better. They also told folks to go take a hike just because of someone's color. Not their behavior, not their criminal record, just their color. Heck, even voting was near to impossible because of violent intimidation. Y'all remember the pictures. Y'all saw the fire hoses. It took the feds to end that, too. States weren't doing it. No. Heck, some states are actually helping it. You know, like Alabama. Active participants, people. That's why the Federal Level Voting Rights Act of 1965 became necessary, and that's why it continues. Now, before we go any further, though, let's just get something straight here right now. I already know, and you should too, that the libertarians abhor bigotry. I'm not saying that they like it at all. No, they abhor it. That's pretty obvious. They're very clear that it's wrong, it ought to be expunged from any civilized society, and that's good. So let's not go trying to claim some nonsense like, oh, the libertarians support bigotry, or any other crazy crap like that. If you do that, I will call you on it because you're wrong. That's not what's going on here. What's going on is simply this. I'm not seeing how libertarianism accounts for that kind of systemic abuse when there's a coordinated effort to maintain that abuse, that distortion of the free market. Besides going for your guns, what do you do? Well, history showed us. I just reminded all of you. To borrow from our current president, the private sector didn't do that. Somebody else made that happen. Oh, and unlike when the president said it, in this case it's actually true. The federal government was needed to make that happen. So, yeah, my brand of liberalism is apparently rather different from libertarianism. I think we do need the government there to step in when needed, but only when needed. That's why, as just one example, I have no problem with the legalization of gay marriage, same-sex marriage, whatever the term du jour is. I don't have a problem with it. Here's why. Remember that marriage in the United States is fundamentally a business contract from a legal perspective. You don't have to go to church to get married. You can do it at City Hall. No religion needed, at least not here in this country. Y'all heard of George Mr. Sulu Takei, the guy from Star Trek? Well, he's married to a fellow named Brad Altman. Yeah, I said married. They're legally married out in California. Hey, it ain't my thing. I definitely like the opposite sex. But I don't see any way that their marriage is somehow hurting me or infringing on my rights to live however I want. And the same goes for anyone else. I don't see how their marriage is infringing on anybody else's rights to live however they want. Here's another example. Though those Confederacy worshippers who seem to pray to their Confederate flags, I probably find that just as offensive as the evangelical and fundamentalist Christians find gay marriage. But where's our governmental interest in preventing either one? Evangelical and fundamentalist Christians don't want to see two people of the same sex walking hand in hand down the street, and especially not wearing wedding rings. Likewise, I don't want to see the Confederate flag. But guess what, people? Neither one of those things is illegal. And I don't see our governmental interest in banning something just because someone doesn't like it. Well, someone didn't like Mr. and Mrs. Loving getting married either. The bigots called it unnatural and against God, against nature. And there are still people who believe that to this day, including a few preachers, as some news articles a couple of years ago showed us. Well, tough cookies, folks. It ain't banned anymore and it never should have been. Same with pretty much anything else that doesn't stop you from exercising your rights if your thing is something different. For example, if you're homosexual, the right to get married, I think, personally, is yours from a human rights perspective. On that point, I, a liberal, agree with the libertarians. And ye harm none, do as ye will. So, we should generally keep government out of our lives. Until someone does something to infringe on the rights of others, and only then should we involve government. That's why I consider it totally consistent to believe heart and soul in the Constitution as written, as well as certain agencies like the EEOC, OSHA, the EPA, the FDA, the FAA. Y'all remember what just happened with Boeing's new 787 Dreamliner and those batteries? And the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission. Certain ones that have proved necessary due to demonstrated abuses of people's basic rights. You, John or Jane Doe out there, some of you may think, I don't need all that, I can take care of myself. Yeah, okay, you say you're armed? Sure, yeah, you probably are. But even if you had a Class 3 machine gun, we'll say even a Mod Deuce, you still ain't big and bad enough to stand up against the might of, say, a Monsanto or the Motion Picture Association of America or George Wallace's police departments. If you think you are, then you're Don Quixote. Good luck, buddy. Far as I know, the federal government, with its powers of arrest and the legal authority to enforce it with guns if need be, is the only organization that was willing at all and actually capable of getting George Wallace out of that doorway or reigning in Bull Connor of Alabama or getting BP and Exxon to at least make some kind of token effort at cleaning up their oil spills. Now, if everyone played nice, well, that'd be great. We wouldn't need police. We wouldn't need courts. Probably wouldn't even need a government. But, obviously, real life shows us that we ain't there yet. Even small bands of people have some kind of judge, usually a chief or something. Now, again, that governmental power needs to be used only when absolutely necessary and at no other time. I do think it's used too much. A lot. By the power brokers of both major political parties, neither one of them's full of saints. Quite the opposite, I would suggest. But to get rid of it all? Go straight laissez-faire? I hope I've made a case for why we really ought not do that. Better to just rein them in and keep them in better check than we do. That's the job of us, the people. Us. And we do need to do a better job at that at the ballot box. Far as I'm concerned, with maybe one current exception, neither the Democrats nor the Republicans are real liberals, and that one exception is named Brian Schweitzer, Governor of Montana. But he's about it. Ironic though it may sound to some of you, throwing it all out would actually be detrimental to the defense of liberty. So should we, as liberals, reject the libertarians and their ideas? No, I sure don't think so. If we did that, I think that'd be a huge mistake. I'm convinced that libertarianism has some good ideas in it, for sure. There's no question it does. Their apparently complete rejection of bigotry of any sort, that really attracts me. That's a really good thing. Their idea of reigning in government really is a good idea. Look how sprawling it's become. They do have a point. Look at how our elected officials are going with the surveillance, the destruction of dignity by the TSA, you know, the freedom gropes. How about those high-tech drones they want flying over our heads, you know, always watching us? How about this? The increased militarization of some of our police departments. You know they're wearing body armor like they were over in Afghanistan and Iraq, like the Army wears? I mean, they're all tacticaled up. They're militarized. Folks, this is scary stuff. As liberals, we would do well to work with the libertarians on those things we agree on, like reining in abuses of governmental authority. There, the libertarians are our natural allies. Despite the areas we don't necessarily agree on, the libertarians do seem to believe in following the Constitution. And really, folks, that's a good thing. That's an excellent thing. And it's a whole lot more than most politicians in office today can say. That's for doggone sure. And for the stuff that we don't totally see eye to eye on, well, hey, let's have those discussions. Let's hash it out in logical, rational talks or even debates, just so long as it stays rational and logical. We ought to do that. We ought to have those talks, because there's definitely some common ground here. Just because we're not exactly the same, that shouldn't stop us from doing this. Didn't stop Mr. and Mrs. Loving back then, and it shouldn't stop us today. This is Cowboy T signing off. Until next time. Till then, safe shooting, keep practicing, and thanks for listening.